brought to you by Cortez Wealth Management. Carlos Cortez is an independent fiduciary, a God-loving Christian, a father, and a husband who loves our republic. Carlos is the founder of Cortez Wealth Management, home of the America First Retirement Plan. And if you do business with Cortez Wealth Management, you're sure to be keeping your investments in the United States, securing the financial future of your kids, and doing business with a patriot. Call Cortez Wealth Management today at 813-448-3446 or visit them online anytime at CortezWM.com. Today on the Stu Peters Show, a Republican governor is set to allow the chemical castration of kids. That's right, sex changes for kids being allowed by a Republican governor. You won't believe where that's happening. Also, Mike Phillip will be here to talk to us about breaking news that manslaughter charges, you heard me right, manslaughter charges could be imminent for anyone that violates COVID restrictions or mandates. And finally, although the FDA hasn't approved the experimental jab for adults, and setting aside, by the way, all of the major health implications and deaths associated with the mRNA injection being called a vaccine, the federal government is set to approve the shot in the arm for your kids. All of that straight ahead right now as the Stu Peters Show begins. My name is Stu Peters. Well, freedom-loving Americans that have recognized the plan for compliance through fear have resisted muzzling themselves with scientifically unproven and ridiculous, dirty and worm-infested masks almost from the beginning of the planned endemic. And the number of those awakening to this ridiculous mandate society is growing exponentially every day. The blanket of misinformation constantly flooding your television on major broadcast networks and these fake news, communist-controlled, state-run so-called cable outlets is being lifted. This propaganda is being recognized by more and more people in our country that want to return to a normal way of living. I've often said if everyone just stops getting tested, if everyone just resists the jab, COVID-19 will absolutely 100% cease to exist. It will go away. Completely. One business owner has decided that he's had enough and he's put his foot down. Stephen Merrill owns a precious metal shop. He's refusing admittance to anyone, covering their face with an ineffective diaper. And if you've subjected yourself to the jab, you are not welcome. He operates the Sun City Silver and Gold Exchange. He's an advocate for free markets, sound money, and individual liberty. He joins us now. Stephen, thanks so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Hey, nice to be with you, Stu. Thanks very much.
So I've seen some reports, specifically Infowars.com, that your sales have soared since you made the decision to ban the shedders. What kind of a reaction have you seen there in person?
Well, we serve a pretty awake community in the precious metal space. We, you know, we deal with people who have long ago gone down the rabbit hole with regards to the monetary system, and are the type of people who would be awake to, you know, the masking and the vaccine debate, and would do more research than your average person. But I've had an overwhelming number of calls, especially from the states right across the U.S., from Florida to California, right up to Alaska, Nashville. And I've seen a number of new orders. In fact, yesterday I had an order for 1,000 silver maples. That was about $39,000. I had another one for $23,500. I had another one for, what was it, about $19,800. And these are coming as a direct result of the media attention on these two signs on my door, which say you're not welcome with your mask on or your little Band-Aid on your arm, if that's been the case recently for your, these poor souls that are lining up for this vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are banning here in the States, are saying, you can't come in here if you haven't been vaccinated. You're not allowed to have in-person meetings at work. You have to do everything, you know, virtually. In Montgomery County, Ohio, as a matter of fact, their county attorney there, the chief prosecutor, the DA, has sent a memo out to all of the county employees saying that you're strictly forbidden from meeting with anybody in person if you haven't subjected yourself to this unknown cocktail, this this Bill Gates injection. So it's really getting quite overbearing, overreaching, constitutionally violating the other direction. So I like it. You've gone full circle and said, no, we want to know if you've been vaxxed so that you can stay away from us. I don't know if you've seen these reports or not, but, you know, we had Dr. Jane Ruby yesterday. I know that America's frontline doctors are talking about this, Dr. Simone Gold and several others. We've got a Mayo-trained, Mayo-certified doctor, virologist, who's said, look, we don't know about this thing. And this shedding, this transmission, whatever this is that's happening, is a real thing. People by the hundreds of thousands are coming forward. VAERS reported data saying, Hey, I feel weird. I'm bleeding when I shouldn't. I'm menopausal and now I'm having my cycles again. You know, all this infertility, thousands and thousands of reported miscarriages. And these are only the reported numbers. So, I mean, it's almost like dangerous to be around these people.
Well, that's what we're hearing here, too. The two doctors that I tuned into most recently were Chris Jan Northrup and another gal by the name of Sherry Tenpenny. And we're watching them on the internet. And these girls have nothing to gain from blowing the whistle on these vaccines or what are being called vaccines. And I tend to trust them. They're taking a lot of heat. They're putting themselves on the line. And I think it's up to us to support them as best we can.
So have you had any people at the door that are vaxxed that you've actually had to say, no, 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 don't come in here?
Well, not yet. I mean, that's one of the, you know, the mysteries of this. Who's been vaxxed, who's not? I mean, I think down the road, as people continue to wear these little face diapers around, we can make some assumptions that they probably had the vaccine. So that's one way to tell us apart, I suppose. But yeah, there's no button that anybody's wearing. And really, you know, at the door, we're just going to have to take people at their word, the same way that merchants are supposed to take us at our word if we claim a medical condition because we don't want to wear a face diaper into a grocery store. And that's been a ruling, not a ruling, but a statement by the BC Human Rights Commission up here in Canada, that people really do need to be taken at their word if they're not into wearing a mask for a medical reason or a medical condition.
Yeah. Have you had COVID? Did you get the virus?
I don't know. I might have had when I returned from actually Mexico back in the fall of 2019. Not that I know of. I have a fairly stable immune system and I haven't been sick in a while, but you know, being sick or having the flu is a natural thing. It's a way to cleanse the body. I at least recognize that. And I'm not wearing a mask for a whole bunch of other reasons, but one of them is my immune system.
Yeah, you weaken your immune system. You're supposed to be exposed to germs every day. I mean, that's why as kids, we love it when our kids go to school, specifically in the fall, because they're little germ factories and they run around, they touch everything, they lick windows, they put stuff in their mouth that they're not supposed to put in their mouth. They get sick. That's how they continue to strengthen and build a system that guards and naturally protects itself against these viruses that are all over the place. This particular virus, the coronavirus known as COVID-19, has a survivability rate here in the United States, or I think globally, of 99.89% or something like that. It's really only killing obesely fat, morbidly overweight people and very old people or people that had, you know, were sick otherwise. Very few reports of anybody dying, but we're getting a lot of reports of people that are dying who didn't have any pre-existing conditions, are middle-aged. There was even a 15-year-old boy here that died after subjecting himself to the jab. The pressure here from families, I don't know if you've seen any of this or not, but Deanna Lorraine was on the program earlier this week, and she was talking about how now people are telling their parents, no, you can't see your grandkids unless you have proven that you have this vaccine. So there's a lot of social pressure. There's a lot of pressure from the government. Now Hollywood is getting involved with Lady Gaga and, you know, all these pseudo aristocrats telling you from their soapbox of love and humanity that you need to do this thing. So a lot of pressure surmounting, but I think the pressure on the other side that people are now saying, whoa, we can't ignore what's really going on here. And you were right about Tenpenny, but there's a lot of doctors like her that are coming forward and now saying you should hold off on this thing.
Well, I absolutely agree. I mean, we've been exposed to people who have died a few days after the vaccine. I've got a really good friend whose mother's best friend from childhood, 72 years old, about 10 days after she took the jab, she was in great shape and in her sleep in the middle of the night. You know, in the prime of her retirement years, you know, it's really sad. And we're hearing, and I am hearing, I'm part of a Telegram channel called COVID Vaccine Deaths, I believe. And there's about 90,000 people on this channel. And the reports are really quite shocking. Yesterday, I saw a 21 and a 28-year-old, both females, both pass away within I think it was 9 days and like 15 days of their second vaccine. I think the real wave of death is maybe to come here after this second jab. Fortunately, I'm hearing in the States, at least I saw a thing on report on Zero Hedge about some 6 or 7 million Americans are already saying no thanks to the second jab, which is encouraging.
Yeah, we have to ask one of the doctors, if you've already had the first jab, if it makes sense to say if you're safer, if you say, no, I don't want the second one, or if the first one contains it. So that the virus didn't work, the murder hornets didn't scare us. Now they have the injection. A lot of people are resisting that. So we see the shedding thing going on. We shouldn't be surprised. Back in 2017, there were articles here that said scientists are developing a vaccine that spreads like a virus. What could possibly go wrong? There was a report here from Johns Hopkins where they were actually developing this thing. So they told us that they were developing these self-spreading vaccines. And obviously, this was by design, because they knew that people were going to resist this thing. And now that more people are resisting it, people are waking up to the masking, they're fighting these mandates, they see the COVID thing for what it is, it's got a survivability rate, the murder hornets never came, and now they're talking about UFO sightings. So the aliens are potentially going to be invading here as they try to distract away from the audit that's going on in Arizona, distract us away from the criminal activity that's happening at the highest levels of government here, the stolen election in 2020 as Trump was robbed out of, in the middle of the night. It's very obvious what it is that's going on, but there's kind of this really weird dystopian disconnect type feeling here between these class of elites, these globalists, and the majority of 300 plus million people that live here, Stephen, because we're all like, wait a minute, we see what's going on here. Why isn't anybody stepping up and doing something about it? So I'm happy to see that you're actually doing something about it, and you have the control at the Sun City Silver and Gold Exchange to do that because it's a private business.
Yeah. Well, absolutely, and I would really encourage other business owners, especially up our way. I mean, we all know, we're all realizing this is a psyop, like you say. There's only been two deaths outside of long-term care homes in the entire province here in Western Canada of 5 million people. They admit these numbers. These numbers are all in plain view. Anybody with 5 seconds on Google can pretty much find out the truth and see the numbers, the real numbers for themselves. You're right. There's just been, I think the average age up here is 82 years old of a COVID death, really. In the province next to us in Alberta, there's been a couple reports out that the flu has completely disappeared. They've got no cases of the flu in a province of some 4 or 4.5 million. I mean, they put this out there and it's just startling. It's just startling. They're claiming that the ICU beds are full to capacity in Alberta, and then a doctor comes out and calls out the premier of Alberta, like your state governor, and calls BS on the whole thing. And the hubris of it all, the lack of humility among the leaders is really, really startling in this case.
Well, you've got a real criminal running your country there as well. I mean, there's no secret there that Trudeau is an absolute moron and a total criminal. He's in bed with the likes of Anthony Fauci and the rest of the globalists that sit at the elite round table, the global faction. Yeah, absolutely. So we're glad to see that you're doing something about it. Stephen Merrill, Sun City Silver and Gold Exchange. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. Bill and Melinda Gates have filed for divorce after 27 years of wedded bliss. There's more in vaccine news as the FDA is now expected to approve the Pfizer vaccine for teens within the next week. And the assault on our law enforcement officers continues. Here to fill us in on all of today's hidden headlines is political commentator and Stu Peters Show contributor Deanna Lorraine. Deanna joins us, by the way, every day for Shots Fired. And I'm just dying to know your thoughts today, Deanna, on the authoritarian couple. Did Bill finally get caught with young boys? Did he discover that Melinda was a young boy? Was Melinda just tired of trying to find ways to reduce the global population or stop the natural cycle of our seasons by firing like meteor fairy dust into the air with Microsoft engineered cannons? I mean, what's going on?
Bill and Melinda Gates, the world's sweetheart couple, right? I think that you said America's dream couple. I don't know about that. The philanthropists of the century. But I've actually been pondering the same questions all morning, too. And I've come up with a couple of options here. And maybe we can have your voters, your viewers vote on this at the end of the day.
Yeah, they like to be involved, for sure.
I'm just as stumped as you are. Why this couple chose to get divorced and why now? This is a very interesting time to get divorced. They're supposed to be the world's leaders that we look up to. They're supposed to be like this messianic couple that we're supposed to look to for all of our guidance in the world right now, and whether to wake up in the morning and take a vaccine or not. So here are a couple options. Number one, because they finally had a disagreement on which venue of world extermination to use. Mm. Maybe they finally disagreed for once and they said, no, we can't put this difference behind us.
Yeah.
Number two, her fetish for the psychopathic eugenicist that she once had finally got a little stale and wore off. I mean, maybe that could be a fetish that she had at some point.
Okay.
Possible. Number three, maybe he finally got tired of being married to a man. Maybe he finally stopped being gay and turned straight at one point.
Doubtful. I'm going to go with A. I'm thinking number one. I mean, and with a plethora of so many different ways to blow up the earth, destroy the world, tear down the economic structure of America, destroy the nuclear family structure completely, and castrate the world, you know, there's got to be a lot of conflicting opinions there as to how to feasibly go about all of this.
Right. They say the biggest three reasons for divorce are sex, money, and kids. But in cases like this, I think it does have to do with, we disagreed on which method of world extermination.
In cases like this, I think it would more be appropriate sex for money with kids.
Right. I do think it all has to do together. You're right. You're very right. Very smart. The last possible option, though, it could be that Bill Gates did not make his COVID vaccine quota this year, and she just couldn't deal with a slacker anymore, lazy slacker. You know how women like their men with drive and ambition, and perhaps Bill Gates was slacking on that. So those are the only things I could come up with. Apparently, according to their daughter, Jennifer, who's 25 years old, she posted an Instagram post saying that this has been a long time coming in the making. They had been to therapy before. They've tried to work on their issues. Again, it's weird to think of what kind of issues that they could possibly have. But here we are. We have Bill and Gates divorced. We also had Jeff Bezos recently divorced, too, in the last few years. So why are these multi-billion dollar couples divorcing? Is there any hope if they can get divorced? Is there any hope for the average American couple staying married?
Yeah, well, I think Diddy and Big Papa had it right. They hit the nail on the head. More money, more problems, right?
Right. Exactly. And maybe the former Ms. Bezos can hook up with Melinda Gates. They can do this, like, you know, off, like, tell all thing about Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos. Wouldn't that be kind of fun?
Yeah. A little genitalia swelling and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
We know that is a result of being, you know, the shedding and the transmission from the vaccine. You know, we're looking at genitalia swelling, and maybe I could get pregnant if he breathes on me. Maybe they'll come up with this thing they can sell on Amazon. I don't know. I mean, there's all kinds of different things that could possibly be done. And speaking of the vaccine, Pfizer is now announcing or anticipated to be approving this thing for teens within the next week. Is that what I'm hearing?
Right. Yeah, so exactly. So this is what's happening. As if it's not bad enough, they said that they're actually slacking. They're not getting enough people vaccinated. It was really big at first. It had a big rush, but now they say that rush has been tapering off, and they need to look for schools, and they need to look at younger kids to get vaccinated. So what do they do? Of course, the FDA is rushing to approve, and most likely will be approving, Pfizer to be giving kids as young as 12 years old and up the vaccine. Why do they want to do this so much? Well, we know why, because they want to get to the children and they want to bypass their parents. And by the way, of all the vaccinations that have been administered, a big portion of that, about at least 5,000 to 10,000 of those reported, there's many more, have actually been to underage kids already. So they're already bypassing parents, and the age limit is just like, it's really not a thing. But here they are, they're trying to make it official, they're trying to make it legal. To have ages 12 and up. And of course, there's no timeline on this. I mean, they have
age limit
no
doesn't really seem to be a thing for anybody. Age limit wasn't a thing for Asa Hutchinson in Arkansas. It doesn't seem to be of concern for Governor Greg Abbott down in Texas.
Age limit's never a thing.
No, age doesn't seem to be a thing for most of Hollywood or a lot of the elitist establishment people in our government, these criminals, these pedophilia ring people. The younger, the better. And let's destroy them all. Let's have sex with all of them. Let's sell them all. Let's change them all into girls. If they're girls, let's change them into boys, and then let's play with them. It's absolutely sick.
It is sick. And what they're doing also is, even a step further, is many, many colleges in California and all over the country, they're making it mandatory for them to have to get the vaccine in order to return back to school. It doesn't get much more.
I would lose my mind. I would absolutely lose my mind. My kid would be homeschooled for life. There is no way that the government is going to tell me that I need to inject some experimental drug into my kid when it's not even approved for me. And especially after seeing what we've been reporting on and diving deep with people like Dr. Jane Ruby, listening to Simone Gold, listening to these Mayo trained doctors, watching Alex over on InfoWars with Dr. Madej. I mean, all of these people are coming forward, these doctors, people are leaving the medical industry. They're leaving Big Pharma. They're blowing the whistle. They're saying, no, don't do this. Slow down. Stop it. Just wait. Don't take it. The shedding is real. The transmission is real. This infertility, these miscarriages, these heart attacks, this blood clotting, these teen deaths that are all associated with this vaccine. And now you want me to give it to my kid and you're going to force me to do it or they can't go to school? Piss off.
Right. And the thing that's most sick about this, too, is that they know, or at least they have indoctrinated parents, good-hearted parents everywhere, to believe that if your child doesn't get a good education, if they don't go to college, they're not going to be able to get a good career. They're not going to be able to get hired anywhere. And then this starts a cycle of poverty. This could start a cycle of homelessness, incarceration. It starts a whole cycle if your children can't get a good career and they can't get on a good business path. And they know that this is a cycle. They know this. And it's the biggest weapon to use to strong arm these parents that, like, hey, your child may not have a career. We're going to take that from him, something that you've invested your whole life in. Of course, you want your child to have a good future, but we're going to take that from you. We're going to take it from you and everything you've invested in your child if you don't give them this experimental vaccine. No matter the consequences.
And they're going to get away with it. They've already proven how tyrannical they are. They're overreaching. They're taking kids away from parents just for not wearing a mask. Even outdoors, Micheline Epstein, the doctor in New York, we saw that. We interviewed the mother from Florida. We've had a guy come on here that owned a gym in Florida. They were all outside. They took his entire business from him. But attacking the kids is nothing new. Governor Walz here in the state of Minnesota actually approved a children's book for kindergartners that indoctrinates and teaches kids that all cops are racist murderers, all of them.
Let's get to that in a second. But the vaccine is something that if parents don't stand up for this, if parents, I don't understand why parents aren't outraged all across the country and organizing protests and rallies with the school board, with the teachers, and boycotting schools. They need money. I mean, the schools do need money, right? So unless there's a massive boycott, unless there's massive protests all over the country in outrage, this is going to happen. This is going to be finished. And your child is going to be injected with this experimental vaccine. Never mind the consequences. Never mind the long-term paralysis or infertility or any other consequence. And I hold the parents accountable at this time. I'm sorry, but the time for being silent is no longer. It's past. So if you are a parent and you don't want this to happen, organize a protest, organize a rally, get loud, complain in mass to your dean, to your principals, to your teachers. Unless that happens, this will be the future and your children will have to get this vaccine before they can be accepted to college again in the fall.
I've seen a lot of people that are separating as a result of this. Divided opinions, differing stances in the same household. This coronavirus is doing exactly what it's designed to do. That COVID, it was politicized. We're gonna split everybody apart. We're gonna, you know, take them, you know, tear them down. Divorces are happening because, you know, the woman believes that, you know, this thing is real and she wants to mask and get a vaccine. Dad is like, no vaccines, no masks. Well, then what do we do with the kids? And when this thing rolls out, I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of domestic violence. There's going to be a lot of tearing apart of the family because there are going to be a certain group of parents that stand up against the other parent and say, no, you're not injecting my kid with this stuff. I mean, how does that end?
I know. It's going to end badly, Stu. We haven't even seen the fraction of the consequences here. Yes, divorce and domestic violence has risen immensely in the pandemic. But what we haven't seen yet is the aftermath of a parent who has been forced to vaccinate their own child against their will because the other parent threatened divorce or had other kinds of consequences. What's going to happen when that child ends up with consequences? What's going to happen when that child ends up sick or diseased or dead? That parent's going to blame the other parent, right? And I think that's going to be irreparable. This is going to happen. There's going to be lots more divorce. We haven't even seen the half of it, Stu. And then aside from all the indoctrination of COVID and vaccines that we're seeing that's tearing apart families and really tearing apart the fabric of our culture, we're also seeing the indoctrination of children and yeah. parents towards police officers. Okay. This massive hate towards police officers, of police officers are bad. Before it was toxic masculinity, now it's toxic police officers. Police officers are murderers. Police officers are all white supremacists. I mean, it's insane what people are indoctrinated to believe, how stupid they are that they believe this, that a police officer is out to get you. And just this morning, it was released, or last night, a police officer in LA, a Hispanic police officer, he pulled a woman over because she was talking on her phone while running a stop sign or something. And his body cam showed, you should see what this body cam luckily captured. And he was on Tucker Carlson last night being interviewed. But the woman went in an outrage, of course, threw racial slurs at him and kind of complete meltdown. Are we able to watch this video?
Because you're a murderer. Yes, I started to record because you're a murderer.
You can't be on your cell phone while you're driving.
I wasn't on my phone. I was recording you because you scared me.
You can't use your cell phone while you're recording.
I can record you.
May I have your driver's license?
It's at my apartment.
Thank you.
And I'm perfectly legal, and I'm a teacher. So there.
Congratulations.
Murderer. Oh, great.
You're a murderer.
Only citing you for using your cell phone while you're driving. That's it.
There you go, ma'am. Sign inside the red box right there.
For him being a Mexican racist. What is that name? Gasso.
It's on the citation, ma'am.
Here you go, Mexican racist. You're always going to be a Mexican. You'll never be white. You know that, right?
Wow. This woman is a teacher. This woman is responsible for educating kids. That is really scary. And Deanna, what exactly is it that would make anybody in their right mind, somebody who is sane and level-headed, somebody who's capable of handling the job as a police officer, what is it that would make them encouraged to go do that? At this point, they're going to have to get rid of the psych exam because anybody that wants this job right now is effing crazy.
They are. And it's sad, though, because, you know, as kids, a lot of kids grow up and say, I want to be a police officer. I want to stop crime.
I got two of them. Yeah.
I want to improve the communities. And now because of Kobe Bryant and Colin Kaepernick, these multi-millionaire, rich, spoiled black kids in America who are raised by white parents, because of CNN indoctrinating and critical race theory, these kids, these people, these Americans are growing up to think that police officers are bad. They're out to get you. And by the way, who's the racist one in this interaction? This woman, I love it. It's so laughable. She's calling him the racist when she's yelling at him, calling him names for being Mexican.
Because she's breaking the law. She's driving down the damn road on her cell phone. You're not allowed to do it. Listen, I'm not saying that I'm some super saint. I don't, you know, scrupulously adhere to the letter of every single law of the road. I might go a little fast sometimes. And you know what? I probably am guilty of using my phone. Guess what? If I get pulled over for speeding, I take my ticket. Did I get the ticket because the cop is black and I'm a white dude, or because the cop is Mexican and I'm white, or did I get it because these people are just really tired of all the privilege that I broadcast from here on my soapbox of privilege, you know, white privilege? I mean, no, absolutely not. You break the law, you pay the price. Whatever happened to a little bit of self-responsibility and accountability?
Oh, self-responsibility? What's that word?
Yeah.
That's
racist.
That's yesterday.
Yeah, that's totally racist.
No, it's totally racist. So, of course, the only people that dare to be cops now in the future, they're going to be these socially engineered, socially politically correct, leftist groomed police officers, right? And out are the true patriotic, law-abiding cops that actually the ones that we want in the system. And it's a sad day that people are basically that are filming cops, smearing cops and saying, you're a racist, you're a murderer, you're a cop murderer. I don't know what the future is going to be like for your children, for my future children. They're going to be injected with vaccines. They're not going to have any cops around. And it's just so disgusting, this world we live in. And again, they have a louder microphone. There's more of us than there are of these insane crazies. There are. But they have a louder microphone. So what are we going to do about it? Are we going to just sit back and do nothing? Are we going to sit back and let them win because they have a louder microphone? Or are we going to organize, unite, get loud, and fight back? And I want, if there's no protests from the parents over the vaccination, the forced vaccinations, or towards the cops and the officers of them, or the critical race theory that's being fed to them and force fed to them at schools. If there's no bite back from parents in a huge, loud way, then honestly, they're complicit in this, dude. They deserve this.
That's right.
We need to get loud. I know you wouldn't be quiet. I know you're not going to roll over quietly while this happens to your children.
What makes you think so? I'll tell you, you mentioned Kobe Bryant. You mentioned Colin Kaepernick.
I'd be afraid to be your teacher.
You mentioned Colin Kaepernick and Kobe Bryant. I'll mention LeBron James. And another one that I want to mention is Ibram Kendi. You know, I mean, look, this is a guy that's out here. His books are being used by educators. Your school board at home is using your money, your tax dollars, to adopt his books, his teachings on this critical race theory, which teaches your kids that this oppression is still alive, that there is still this systemic racism that holds back Black people in our country, specifically and strictly because of the color of their skin. But when you look at these people, these are people who see millions of dollars to be made on the emotion of people. They are fakes and they are phonies. Ibram Kendi is a perfect example. He's a professor at Boston College. He is married to a doctor. He grew up in a home with both parents. By the way, both of them happily retired after having upper middle class jobs and careers for the entire life. He had everything that he ever wanted. He went to private schools his whole life. He went to elite colleges, by the way, not historically Black. Okay, he went to these other universities, and now he's a professor at Boston College. Never wanted for a day in his life, silver spoon life his whole life, but yet here he is out here teaching these people. And you know who that doesn't resonate with? The real impoverished Black people that are still held in these modern day progressive slavery encampments like Chicago and the north side of Minneapolis, like Detroit and Baltimore and Philadelphia, where Black people are still on the plantation being held under the thumb of intentionally failed liberal Democrat policies. That's who it doesn't resonate with. I'll do it for you. Shots fired. Deanna Lorraine, we'll see you tomorrow. We saw the SOS, literally, from our northern neighbors in Canada with the lights, screaming for help. That will soon be us. Mike Phillip with American Uck Radio. He's in Canada. He's across the parallel. He's here to join us. We're Mojo 5-0, brothers. By the way, if you have not found that station, go over to iHeartRadio, search the station Mojo 5-0. The SOS for good reason, and you're here to warn us. What's going on?
Thanks for having me on, Stu. So what happened was basically we've heard the United States and Canada, politicians on both sides of the 49th parallel, talk about Operation Lockstep. In that basically members of the Democrat Party, the GOP, the Liberal Party of Canada, Canadian Conservatives are all moving in lockstep for a certain agenda. Now, I was made aware of a city council meeting in a little town called Camrose last night in central Alberta, population of about 17,000 people. They had a member of the Canada Post or Postal Workers Union address them in a new initiative that is being backed by communist organizations that are government funded. It's in all the nomenclature. They're calling it the Leap Manifesto, reminiscent of Mao's Great Leap Forward, right before 80 million Chinese were killed when the Red Terror came in. What they are proposing is that the post office will become a hub of internet banking. Postal workers will do wellness checks on people. So they'll have a little Stasi army of snitches and spies. Also, they're talking about the green economy that is coming. They'll have charge stations for electric cars at Canada Post. Now, you're thinking to yourself, I'm an American. Why does this bother me? Who cares what happens in Soviet Kanakistan? Well, the fact of the matter is I contacted another host on Mojo 5-0, Pete Serafine, that is a member of the United States Postal Service. And I said to him, you're never going to believe what they're doing in Canada right now at the post office. Without missing a beat, Pete said to me, let me guess, they want to put charge stations for electric cars, control banking, control internet. I said, that's exactly it, Pete. How did you know? He said, because they've been talking about it for years in the United States as well. This is the Green New Deal. The people that are backing it are government funded. And it's the same people that have been talking about a genocide against whites and Christians. this whole time. It is now officially launching in Canada, Pete. Stu?
How long until this rolls out? I mean, is this going to be approved? Did the city council rule on this thing last night?
They approved the resolution, and they're passing it along to their sister city councils across Canada. The other thing that they're saying is that U.S. Post and Canada Post have been losing money forever because they suck at their jobs. They're terrible. I can get a package ordered from anybody through UPS or FedEx and have it in 1/10 of the time that it would take for USPS or Post Canada. So they're saying it's going to create jobs. They're saying that it's going to improve postal workers' pensions, things like that. But really, it's being used to bring about this communist agenda. The other thing that they're saying is that it's perfect to do it because United States Postal Service and Canada Post have agencies and offices in every hole-in-the-wall town across America and across Canada. So it's the perfect way to get everybody into this Internet of Things. It's the perfect way to give the universal basic income that they've been saying is coming this whole time. And they're also saying that it is to save the earth. And we've heard that mantra before.
Now, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez famously published or is pushing for this Green New Deal, co-sponsoring it, authoring it. I don't know. She's a whack job. She's nuts. This would get rid of cows because they fart. And also, we'd be eating insects and bugs and things like that. Reimagine policing is one of her other initiatives. And you were mentioning that this thing has a tagline, reimagine the post office. So, I mean, these things are in lockstep. These things are directly tied to one another. So if you are wondering, as an American, why this makes any difference to you, these people are sharing the same communist agenda. There's no question about it. Am I right?
100%. But I am seeing some very positive things happening with policing. For instance, a group of 15 officers, 10 active and 5 former, with several different departments in the province of Ontario, have issued a charter challenge to the Court of Queen's Bench over the enforcement of these lockdown measures. At the same time, lawyers and judges in Canada are floating the idea of charging people with manslaughter for not going along with the lockdown measures, which right now in Canada are really coming down hard. I know you guys have been opening up in Florida and Texas. We had a rodeo over the weekend, and it was announced by the premier. If you're in Canada, a premier is kind of like a governor of a state.
Right, yeah.
Because of these people that had a rodeo, we're going to really bring down more lockdown measures. So it's the classic boot camp punishment. Somebody screws up, you all get 500 push-ups. And people are getting weird around here. I'm telling you right now, I've had many run-ins. But I still haven't put on a mask once, Stu.
You know, it's funny that you should say the rodeo, because here in the People's Republic of Minnesota, under Governor Tim Jong Walls, and then, of course, the self-proclaimed radical extremist Muslim Keith Ellison, a.k.a. Keith Hakim Muhammad X, who in his writings, he celebrated the death of cops. In this particular state, there was a rodeo in northern Minnesota where Attorney General Keith Ellison then went and fined them tens of thousands of dollars, shut them down permanently. Threatened incarceration and all those kinds of things. So the rodeo, they're not having this rodeo fun whatsoever. But did you just seriously just say manslaughter charges for violating these restrictions and mandates? Manslaughter.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. A lot of lawyer scholar types are saying that it would be absolutely impossible to prove where somebody contracted a virus, but they're still going to try and do it. What they're also doing is doubling the fine. Well, actually, they're not even doubling the fines. Right now, it's $100 for not wearing a mask inside of a store. They're talking about raising it to $500. I personally don't know anybody that has paid one of these fines yet, but we also have a Calgary city councilor that is promoting the same idea of charging people with manslaughter if they can prove on whatever flimsy ground that somebody got a virus by attending a party or a church service. And we all know how hard they've been coming down on church services due to our mutual friend, Arthur Pawlowski. I also live 15 minutes away from Grace Life Church, where Pastor Coates was arrested and jailed.
Wow. unbelievable. The communist takeover is happening, and the West is absolutely under attack. Mike Philip, American Knock Radio. You can find him iHeartRadio, Mojo50, as well as frequently at redvoicemedia.com. Thanks so much. We'll keep checking in with you.
Thanks, Stu.
Well, you may or may not have heard, and if you didn't already, you should absolutely know that Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson was rightfully held accountable for refusing to sign a bill that would have made it illegal for minors to be subjected to sex change operations. Tucker Carlson eviscerated the governor on Tucker Carlson Tonight when Asa joined the network star on the Fox News channel.
Your teaser, as you led into this program, did not accurately represent the bill. Under hormonal treatments,
if I could just correct you for a second. Well, this is chemical castration, of course. If you stop puberty and suppress the sex hormones, you're chemically castrating someone. Why do you think it's important for conservatives to make certain that children can block their puberty, be chemically castrated? Why is that a conservative value, if you would tell us?
Well, first of all, you have parents involved in very difficult decisions. You have physicians that are involved in these decisions. And I go back to William Buckley. I go back to Ronald Reagan, the principles of our party, which believes in a limited role of government. Are we as a party abandoning a limited role of government and saying we're going to invoke the government decision making over and above physicians, over and above healthcare, over and above parents? And saying
How deeply have you studied this topic? With respect, it doesn't sound like you've studied it very deeply. I mean, this is an emerging field. There's not a lot of research, but the research that exists suggests that depression and the urge to self-harm and suicide is a side effect of taking these hormones. A study in the UK showed the overwhelming majority of kids, of children on puberty-blocking hormones had the urge to hurt themselves.
I signed many bills that would be looked at as very conservative, but this is one that crosses the line. There's no need for it.
You've said that you've seen research that shows the mental health of children who receive puberty-blocking drugs improves. What is that research exactly?
Well, the research that I've seen shows that these troubled youth, these ones that have gender dysphoria, that they also have depression, they have suicidal tendencies. It's a higher suicide rate than others. And they go to their parents, the parents go to doctors, and they try to deal with this very difficult issue.
I'm sorry. You're the governor. You just vetoed this bill. You said you're familiar with the studies. No one disputes that children who are asking for puberty-blocking drugs or been recommended to their parents or doctors may be depressed. That seems very likely. I think the studies show it. Cite one specific study that shows puberty-blocking drugs improves the condition. Does it make children less depressed? Does it make them less likely to harm themselves, to commit suicide? Just name one study that shows that, please.
There's a bill in Texas right now that would end child chemical castration. And Governor Greg Abbott and Dade Phelan, the Speaker of the Texas House, they're treating this thing like a hot potato. They don't want it voted on. This is House Bill 1399. You should look it up. It would make it illegal for minors to be subjected to hormone therapies, sex change operations, things like that. Texas Ag Commissioner Sid Miller has actually come out publicly opposing this whole thing. Joining us now is Chris Ekstrom. He's a former U.S. congressional candidate. He's a conservative Christian Trump Republican. He's been a fierce and passionate advocate for Texans and Americans at both the state and federal levels. Chris, thank you so much for being here. Why is Governor Abbott wanting to get away from a bill that would ban the chemical castration of young people, minors, in Texas?
Well, apparently Governor Abbott, Stu, is like Asa Hutchinson, the governor of Arkansas, a Bushite, you know, a Bush faction guy who thinks the priority should be being so-called fair to people that, for whatever reason, want to transgender their small children prior to the age of 18. And that is what we're talking about here. And they sort of go to great lengths to act as though they really care about that. What their true agenda is remains something of a mystery. But for the sake of making it simple and to the point, they believe that a child below the age of 18 should be able to be chemically castrated. There's not too many people in the Texas Republican Party who would agree. Maybe 1% if they could get to that number.
Now, you've heard about Asa Hutchinson. You referred to this deal in Arkansas. We know that that had everything to do with money. Is this the same thing in Texas? I mean, is this the new Republican stance that we're just okay with this transformation, these sex changes, this castration of our kids?
It's the woke corporation stance. And if Greg Abbott, governor of Texas, were a NASCAR driver, he would have so many corporate patches that own him on him that there wouldn't be any white on the uniform. It would just, they'd be fighting to get the patches. The man has taken more than $40 million, more than anybody ever, really, on a state level in United States history from corporations. They own him. And they are clear that they want this insanity to go through. And here's the funny thing. These corporate guys, and I know them and I've been among them my whole life, when we meet in private, they would say, well, Chris, you know, come on now. There's only 7 or 8 nuts who are going to do this. And who cares, frankly? And I say, yeah, 7 or 8 in the first year. And then what, 2,500 the next year? And then 10,000 the next year? And then 25,000? This is why we're in the mess we're in. These corporate guys are actually the stupid ones. The average Americans, the average citizen is an Einstein politically compared to these morons.
It's insane that some of these top-level executives that get to these positions of power and authority that have influence over an influx of employees, 2,500, 3,000 or more employees. I mean, some of these corporations that are in Texas that are lobbying for this thing, that want these children to be able to go in and do this. Why would you speculate the long-term goal? Why do you think it is that these big corporations and some of these pseudo-aristocrats, these rhinos, these people hiding behind the Republican cloak, why do you think that they would want this to be able to happen in America?
Well, I think that we're witnessing a great transformation. When Obama said that he wanted to fundamentally transform the United States, I think now we're finding out exactly what he meant. And Biden, who seems to me to be a front man, essentially, for even worse elements of that position ideologically, is just coming straight out with it. And these corporate guys have been in on it with him. I mean, Coca-Cola used to be what would be considered a pretty benign influence and not really going out on a limb in any direction, particularly pretty middle of the road. Apparently, they've been telling their employees not to be white. And I don't even know what that means. But I mean, these people are going to crazy lengths to become woke for whatever reason. They think that appeals to a segment of the population. We do have to acknowledge that anybody who was crazy enough to vote for Biden clearly might be receptive to some of these messages, but that might be their audience. But it is for us, it is not us. Republicans are 100% in Texas behind 1399, which is the bill to prevent chemical castration. Now, I want to emphasize this, 100%. There's no need to take a poll. We know what that answer is. The only Republicans opposed to this are Greg Abbott and Dave Phelan and Dustin Burroughs, the guy who's sitting on it right now in what's called the Calendars Committee of the Texas Legislature. Now, they didn't get away with it in Arkansas because that legislature reversed Asa Hutchinson and forced him, because they overrid his veto, right, to get that on the books. I don't know if that's going to happen here or not, because the corporations own Greg Abbott. He is a messenger boy for them.
Yeah, he's a bought and paid for career establishment deep state rhino. He is no different than Joe Biden. He is controlled and manipulated by Wall Street. He is controlled and manipulated by the establishment, by the criminals that run this country. And I'm going to speculate as to why I think it is that they want this to happen. The future of the country is in the balance right now. And this is a last battle of good versus evil. There are many patriots, many Americans, well over 80 million people that came forward on November 3rd. I would speculate that that number is even much higher, over 100 million people that are not going to stand for this. And regardless of your party line or how you affiliate, attacking our kids, castrating them, changing their sexes, allowing them to make these decisions when they're under the age of 18, or even worse, provoking and promoting them to make these decisions, influencing these decisions, is absolutely appalling to most level-headed Americans.
They're doing it in our public schools. Some of these kids who are from troubled families in the first place go to school and come home thinking that they want to be a boy or a girl, which if you know, it's like going to school now is dangerous for your kids. Okay. And this homeschooling people are absolute heroes in my book. I used to think they were a little crazy I've gone from that to seeing these people as absolute, truly heroes, because they are protecting their kids from this kind of gender ideology and insane proliferation of pro-homosexual programs, trying to convince kids to consider it. I'm sure we're going to go from consider it, by the way, to just do it. Okay. And you know, the Nike thing, because that's the trend here. And remember, folks, Chris Ekstrom, I'm not usually a prophet, but I'll be a prophet here. If these things are allowed to continue, the first year, you'll have a smattering of crazy people who will allow their kids to be transgendered. Then the next years, it will go up and up and up to levels that will be horrifying and utterly embarrassing.
Interesting. Horrible, horrific. And I hope you're wrong, but I believe that you are right. We have to stand up right now. Chris Ekstrom, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
The frenzy is very much alive, not just in the real world, but also in the crypto world, sending Dogecoin up over 50% again and crashing the app known as Robinhood. Along with Dogecoin, Dash and Ethereum Classic spiked, with that company seeing more than 30% increase, and Tyrion surged more than 1,000% this morning. Here to talk with us about why this might be happening is our in-house financial expert. He's the founder of Cortez Wealth Management, an independent fiduciary, and a Stu Peters Show contributor. Carlos Cortez, thanks for being here. Why are all of these investors making this jump? What am I missing?
Hey, Stu, thanks for having me. Apologize, I'm in my temp space while we move into our building.
It's okay.
With Thursday, but in the whole gamut of the rush into cryptocurrencies, as we spoke many times, investors are just literally bored of the stock market. They're not happy with making 7 to 10% a year. You know, they want more action, and particularly the younger crowd. A lot of the Reddits, you know, the Reddit investors has a huge surge in influence into we've seen it with Amazon. AMC and Nokia earlier this year. We've seen a lot of momentum from the Internet. And as we have these public icons like Elon Musk saying, hey, Dogecoin is going to be something. He didn't even talk about Dogecoin. He just mentioned it on his Twitter feed. Tonight or on Saturday Night Live, he's going to talk about Dogecoin actually trying to be a real currency where it's going to be legitimate. The problem, Stu, is people have this FOMO where they're shilling, and basically they're a fear of missing out is what it's called. And they're going to get in too late. It's going to get pumped. And it will get dumped.
Well, it happened with Bitcoin. You know, I mean, just imagine if you'd have gotten at the beginning of that thing. So it's people rightfully, they have this thing. It's a legitimate feeling. Nobody wants to be left behind. Everybody wants to jump on board.
Yes.
But why not Dogecoin?
I don't particularly care for Dogecoin, and I've gotten a lot of hate on my Facebook because of me calling them out. I think it's a crap coin, to be honest. And we need to, just like stocks, you need to focus on fundamentals. You need to focus on actual, what's the team behind it? What is their purpose? And Dogecoin doesn't have any of that. So a good project will have a great team, a great white paper, meaning their business plan is on their website, a good utilization far as, hey, how can we proactively use this particular coin? What's their niche in this marketplace?
What's
in Dogecoin?
He said white. Yeah, he said white paper.
Yeah.
Intern boy says that's racist.
I'm sure
it is. I mean, I'm sure it absolutely is. But,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, so we're seeing, do you think a lot of this, and I'm just going to ask you straight up, do you think a lot of this is Q sponsored? I mean, do you think there's a lot of these people out here that are following this Q and QAnon and, you know, these people are, this is, we're not going to be using paper money anymore. The dollar's going to go away. There's going to be no more coins, your checks, your banking systems, everything is going to crash. And the only thing you're going to have left is stuff like Dogecoin. I mean, do you think that's what's going on here?
I honestly, you know, with the conspiracy theories, Nasera, Jacera, a lot of clients, a lot of our listeners call, and they really, really believe in that. I think it's false flag within the truth movement. So you got to be careful. Hey, Satan worked worked miracles with the apple and deceived Adam and Eve.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of truth to Q. I think that there was a lot of great information there. And I think that that's a huge part of this great awakening. You know, Donald Trump is being credited for a lot of that. I think his legacy should be that rather than the shot, you know? So I think that there's a lot of legitimacy to that. And I think that people that are looking for this crypto, whether it's Bitcoin or Dogecoin, whether it's Tyrion or whatever it is, I think that there's a lot of, you know, legitimate feeling and there's good motivation there, but somebody needs a real good fiduciary to be able to guide them and to help them sensibly and responsibly make some sense of all of this. Am I right?
Yeah. I don't mind giving advice. I want to make sure, that I do not hold, you know, their crypto. I don't buy crypto for clients. I can only give them advice on cryptocurrencies. It is a risky market. Some of my personal holdings, I do have an XTK, which is a great project. Thorchain. Here's the thing about what no one is full disclosure. I do own those coins. Here's the thing that no one is talking about, Stu, is this rampant rush to Dogecoin as people actually think it's going to moon to the stars. What they're not talking about is how, okay, so you've made 3,000% on your Dogecoin. Good for you. Pat yourself on the back. A, are you going to sell it? Which you should. And B, what are you going to do with the money when you sell it? You have to go through a formal process of actually exchanging it. And because it's on a DeFi platform, DeFinancial platform or DApps, you have to have a certain bridge in order to translate those DeFi coins into a USD coin. And so in that aspect, there's a reason why railroads in America have tax benefits, right? So what is the railroad? What is the way to actually convert these Doge coins? And that's through a decentralized network. And so those are the coins that I feel are having the most potential is in a DeFi cross bridging coin. And that's where really I feel the money is going to be made in the micro alt cap space.
Well, there's a lot of different places for the money to be made, and you know of all of them. He's an independent fiduciary. He's a God-fearing husband and a father. He's a patriot, home of the America First Retirement Plan, and the premier sponsor here at the Stu Peters Show. Make sure that you visit him online, CortezWM.com, Cortez Wealth Management. Give him a call anytime, 813-448-3446. Again, that's 813-448-3446 or online at CortezWM.com. Carlos Cortez, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Stu. Appreciate it.
We want to thank our good friends and our premier sponsors, Cortez Wealth Management, as well as Verve Forever. Now, Verve Forever is a CBD company that I do business with. Make sure that you get over there to AmericaFirstOil.com, whether it's stress and anxiety that you want to deal with, maybe a diagnosis like PTSD or ADHD, maybe something as simple as allergies. You don't have to take or ingest these chemicals, not for pain either. Joint pain, muscle pain, ligament pain, tendonitis, arthritis, all of these things can be naturally and holistically dealt with using CBD. Now, AmericaFirstOil.com promises that everything is sourced right here in the United States. Not only that, but Verve Forever is owned by a veteran of the United States Air Force. So, do business with a veteran-owned, patriot-owned company. Do business with Verve Forever, 50% off using the promo code VET50. That's the veteran discount for everybody. If you get over there right now to AmericaFirstOil.com and use the promo code VET50. Also want to take the time to thank Carlos Cortez over at Cortez Wealth Management. He's always a wealth of information for us, and he can help you with your wealth as well. Make sure that you get over there to CortezWM.com. Again, that's CortezWM.com. Visit him 24 hours, anytime, all the time, online, and you can do business with Carlos Cortez at Cortez Wealth Management from anywhere in the United States. Until tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it, maybe be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid that radar. Listen, get over to redvoicemedia.com right now for all the truth as well. All the truth lives at redvoicemedia.com. One day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radio!